friends. Join me. Have a seat over here. Let's share a cup of virtual tea or coffee. We're still all masked up, socially distanced or virtually distanced. It's hard to visit in a mask, at least for me, but we need to wear our masks to stay safe. Each day in our sequestering, we come to realize the value of every life, as each of us is precious. A great deal is on our plate at this time. We are losing acquaintances, friends, and loved ones daily to the pandemic. On top of that, people are succumbing to other diseases and accidents. Life dangles on a thread regardless of pandemics, as we have other challenges to our wellness and safety, such as social upheaval, as the following poem by Denise Fletcher expresses. As Fletcher shows in this poem, we are definitely in a huge storm at this time. Sometimes I feel like I'm clinging to the rafters with everything that this cyclone is throwing at all of us. Disease, corruption, unemployment, social instability. It's a lot to bear. The storms of life. She starts with this quote. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. By Charles Albert Tinley, 1851 to 1933. The storms of life are raging all around us. Chaos, killings, protests, political rallies, injustice, people fighting back with a vengeance, trying to focus on inequities, must obtain freedom at all costs. Defunding the police is not the answer. Reading, studying English literature, seeking insight into the human psyche, and learning how to reconcile history with reality. Yet, maintain inner peace. A rocky path ahead with health problems too numerous to count or even mention. Stick to the plan, doing daily chores and setting personal goals. The storms of life are raging all around us. Denise Fletcher. Social upheavals and long-awaited shifts in the ways we think about racism, the roles and responses of police, the value of our democracy have knocked us down, creating worry, anger, fear, and grief. If left unchecked, these emotions can make us ill. Also, the current storm with COVID-19 is teaching us about health and illness. It's not like we have never been sick before this pandemic hit, no. But those of us who have faced life-threatening conditions before may be triggered by renewed fear due to the pandemic. Certainly many of us are facing cancer, autoimmune conditions, health disease, diabetes, autism, and the list goes on. Some of us are especially vulnerable right now, and we need to take care of each other. Hanging on in the storms of late, we grip to loved ones and conventions so as not to lose anything. Loss is a ready companion to all of us, and with loss we face grief. Learning of any threat to the health elicits grief and loss because life has changed and the familiar may never return. Bad health can be a catastrophe. Some may be able to create blessings from their despair, and some may not. Grief is a personal journey, and the roadmap will vary from person to person. No one can plan another's trip when it comes to grief. Why should we study grief and loss as it relates to good health? This topic is so deep to me that I plan more than one episode on it. I've already explored grief in a prior episode in relation to Alzheimer's. The topic of loss is too important to complete in one session. brief responses to the storms around safety issues involving COVID and social upheaval and transformation can vary. One stage of grief is denial, so we see people calling this pandemic a conspiracy theory. Now I read of COVID parties where people mingle with the infected, young people. One 30-year-old man who contracted COVID-19 at such a party died. He said he thought this pandemic was a hoax, according to Newsweek. Another response to grief is anger. This is why we hear more and more reports of people going into a rage because they are simply asked to wear a mask and comply with shutdowns. The Washington Post published an article on anger and aggression. According to Damon Tweedy, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavior sciences in the School of Medicine at Duke University, anger is problematic, quote, when it is sustained or there are recurrent repetitive bouts of it without use of other positive coping tools, end of quote. Aggression can result, and in fact, domestic violence cases have spiked because of our having to shelter at this time. He says that anger endangers the cardiovascular, neurological, and endocrine systems. Fear is another response to grief and loss as we face our own mortality. Still, many of us take our safety for granted. We are so used to living that we fail to see the veil. This is the human condition. Fear can lead to complacency. If we don't face the beast COVID with testing and research, it doesn't exist. No data, no problem. I know I take too much for granted in my life. Yes, I'm being extremely safe in the face of COVID-19. But still, I can't imagine not being here or my loved ones not being here. It's so normal, so routine to have my life as it is. With loss, it only takes seconds to change a life. My steady and loyal routine could easily be dismantled by disease, danger, and death. When I think about the scenes at hospitals with patients fighting for air and asking doctors to tell the families they love them, it crushes me and I fear the same fate. Separation also contributes to fear of isolation and abandonment. The need to be with loved ones at all costs because we are fatigued by this pandemic can have tragic consequences. We cannot let go of our need to for connection and remembrance. One woman had a large funeral for her husband who died of COVID-19 complications. Unfortunately, she and others became infected. As she was dying a few weeks later from COVID-19, she said she didn't realize how virulent the virus was and apologized. MSNBC aired a heart-wrenching video showing nurses and doctors trying to save her. This poem about COVID-19, written by Laura Kelly Fanucci, went viral after she posted it on Instagram. It speaks to our sense of loss and hope for renewal of our life as we knew it. I don't see a title for the poem, but I'll begin. When this is over, may we never again take it for granted. A handshake with a stranger. Full shelves at the store. Conversations with neighbors, a crowded theater, Friday night out, the taste of communion, a routine checkup, the school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, the stadium roaring, each deep breath a boring Tuesday, life itself. When this ends, may we find that we have become more like the people we wanted to be. We were called to be, we hope to be, and may we stay that way, better for each other because of the worst. Laura Kelly Fanucci. Through this sheltering and separation from my community, I can get so caught up in my reality that I forget the suffering of others. Those who are sick right now, whether it be from the virus or from other conditions, not just physical, but mental, emotional, and spiritual. If there was any time to consider our overall health condition and our immune system, it is now. It is now. Anger, fear, worry, and grief all contribute to lowering our immune system response to illness. Our health maintenance is not simple. It involves diet, activity level, genetics, hygiene, and other factors that many books and articles are written about. But it also involves our emotional, mental, and spiritual states. How do we feel about the conditions? What do we think about them? How does health relate to spiritual well-being? How can our spirit help us prevent illness, especially COVID-19, and heal from it? Healing is a complex process that can take a period of time beyond the biological or physical recovery. Many of us are faced with difficult physical and biological challenges, especially after recovery from the novel coronavirus, which damages our organs. But we can still heal mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, which may lead to a deeper physical response in our bodies to realign with our true nature. But it's really our choice how, when, and if we heal, to what degree, and so on. Those decisions are sacred, because healing is tangled up with grief and loss. And loss affects not only those who are ill, but those who know and love them. All of us are affected by illness, grief, loss, death. We can't change anyone else's health or take charge of it or their lifespan or grief, but we can comfort those affected by loss. Love, compassion, empathy, and forgiveness all boost the immune system. So if we switch our focus from anger, fear, worry, and similar emotions to love, compassion, empathy, and forgiveness, we may be able to maintain wellness. Our attitudes and beliefs can injure us or heal us. HopkinsMedicine.org says, and I quote, "People with a family history of heart disease who also had a positive outlook were one-third less likely to have a heart attack or other cardiovascular event within 5 to 25 years than those with a more negative outlook." Another boost to our immunities is art, such as poetry. I believe poetry is a healing modality, a comfort to those who struggle in life. Poets write of suffering, grief, loss, and death, and companion feelings such as anger and fear. Poets are, in effect, wounded healers. Those who went through their own suffering reach out to others so as to provide a pathway to wellness and peace. Today I'm sharing some poetic work sent to me by listeners and fellow poets regarding their health paths with illness. I appreciate people sharing in this endeavor of mine on this podcast. My gratitude to all of you. Clarissa Simmons, author of several poetry collections, shares her grief related to autism in this poem. By sharing her experiences and reflections, she is reaching out for understanding as well as helping others with autism. Some of her poems also show she is an herbalist. Nature can heal us all. Fragrant release. When days are dragging me down, people seem made more like daggers, and I'm saturated with sadness that leaks into the grass and dirt. I have my ways of relieving the pressure. There is music, of course, reading, writing, chocolate. But a forgotten feeling resurfaced when the FDA became involved with herbs, raising prices, banning bottles and jars of alternative medicines. So after a few days of rejection and feeling like invasive vines are creeping all over me when my people skills suffer from autism, when once again I become the mistress of the inappropriate remark from autism, when no one will tell me what I have done, I crawl into my magic center that has room for only one, closing my eyes until a vision appears, and I hear, triple, triple, make a ripple, pour and stir, bloodroot and myrrh, plantain and golden seal, and many herbs so ideal. It is new moon, and I add 100 proof vodka and daily shake the jar, extracting earthen properties in watery medium as wind stirs to contents and fiery moon distills and augments, relaxing as I add and mix, handle and sing, wondering how I could forget the peace brought by the release of endorphins. Then when the moon is a silver medallion, metal more precious than gold, I sieve and save the healing liquid, add melted beeswax, breathing loving words, passing along the peace inside tiny jars that will hold an ageless recipe of earth, water, air, and fire, ingredients working together like a vocal range in a choir, a mystical tether. Clarissa Simmons. In this next poem, Clarissa sees hope and love sent to those who ail. Repetition of hope. Is there a rule about the amount of healing words sent to the ethers? Are they to be measured by a spoon, like a prescription? Take 3 times a day? Or can we utter them like a prayer or a favorite song that just won't leave the mind? No, no rule. Once is never enough when sending good thoughts, a sparkling beauty of a jewel to heal our friends and family. Clarissa Simmons. My sister, Cynthia Katie Stanton, a hospice chaplain and bereavement specialist, writes of grief and healing. Acquainted with grief. Somewhere between meeting the new and releasing the comfortable, there will always be grief. It is that separation thing that is oh so inevitable and as predictable as melting ice cream. It is the tug along the way that pulls at the heart, sometimes tearing it or tearing it painfully, leaving scars that mark the spot. Nothing lasts, or so it seems. It takes a lifetime to figure this out. Eventually, we learn that grief is the price of love, given and received. I bump into grief every day when I see it in another. Its embers are sparked in me, and the familiar ache of it all shows up, reminding me of its ready presence, pouncing on me like a mugger on a morning walk. Grief has an I get it quality when witnessed in another. Our earthly existence comes with loss, woven deeply into its tapestry. We can see it in each other's faces when we dare to look up. Loss is the glue that connects us and joins us together. Some think God causes this sadness, as if to manipulate us to devotion by bringing us to our knees with heartache. I disagree. To me, God is all trust and love with an unimaginable capacity for wisdom and compassion, and is not the cause of our suffering. If anything, God gets it, suffers and grieves with us, weeping as we weep. God knows that the answer to grief is the loving embrace, the one we share with one another and the one God gives with everlasting arms through us. We are not alone, ever. This must be realized. When it comes to grief and life, as it turns out, we are in it together. And once we get off the floor after extreme loss has arrived, we can move forward side by side, learning a deepening resilience together. Cynthia Cady Stanton. Friends, we are one in the dark, and together see fragments, shards of goodness and grace lighting the way on a grander scale and spectrum. The shape of our light is ever changing, as is the way of life we once knew. We face the beast asking us if we are ready to die. We hold up our arms in self-defense, and we fight. We fight. As we realize our power to conquer and heal, we evict the unwelcome tenant creating illness. My poem, The Unwelcome Tenant. What is healing but the stabbing to death of pain and banishment of shadows, the release of sorrows, the burning of poison arrows? Healing requires arbitration and litigation, for illness takes possession, the uninvited occupant in our temple. It strips away a clean visage, creates squalor and decay, plants bramble in the garden, makes infertile the soil, evades eviction. Illness commandeers the ego, becomes its own soul. This loathsome dweller deceives, creates attachments, becomes dependable, appears useful, provides false amenities, orders demolition to the heart, lays claim to property, prosperity. We are healers who can vanquish the squatter from sacred property. Once we know our powers, we are the landlord who owns the keys and locks the gates. We break this unholy contract wrought by the wretched occupant that creeps into our house and garnishes our treasures. Healing is evicting that which does not serve, does not align, is unholy to our divine. Barbara Leonhard. Once we banish this unwelcome tenant, we feel cleansed, as Denise Fletcher writes in her poem, The Cleansing. I stepped into a pool of cool water in the early morning to lay back and relax. Floating, I closed my eyes. When I opened them again, I was in a mikvah in the past, living with the Essenes in Qumran. I stepped out, towelled off to dry my naked body, and fully accepted the white robe of an initiate. Was I dreaming, or was my bath a portal to the past? I felt refreshed and alive, and bathed in the warmth of the sun. My companions welcomed me with open arms. Denise Fletcher. I will end with another poem on healing by Cynthia Cady Stanton. Healing is a sacred journey we each take on our terms, our own terms, to a divine state, our natural state. Holy, holy, not one of us is perfect, not one of us is fully formed. We are but buds on the stem and wobbly saplings with thirsty roots searching for ground. Every day we come up short in some way. We offend our intentions, allowing the pain within to attach more deeply. Our path is littered with all we have dropped, despite all the trying on the way to be perfect. To heal, we turn around and gaze upon the lessons. We pick them up one at a time and lift them to our heart. To the lifting we proclaim, holy, 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 holy. Now held by grace, we can turn around and begin again, reminded of what it feels like to be held. Cynthia Cady Stanton. Thank you for listening. May your soul be uplifted. May you remain safe and well with a boosted immune system. May you heal in the face of this pandemic and also the woundedness of society. May all illness, whether it be physical or social, rise for healing and be transmuted to grace.